The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
Have it your way. We do chicken right. Think outside the bun. You deserve a break today. What do they have in common? Trying to get you to come into their fast food restaurant. And why should they work so hard at this? Why should they spend so much money? Because there are 85,000 fast food restaurants in the United States alone, one for every 338 people. And this isn't just a domestic opportunity. Fast food restaurants are all over the world. Tens of thousands of them have expanded. The busiest, McDonald's, of course, is in Moscow. The largest is in Beijing. But alas, there were no fast food restaurants in the distant regions of Galilee when a large crowd had gathered to hear the words of Jesus. And alas, there were not needed, because there was not only a great need, but they were in the presence of a great provider. So let's turn today in our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to be reading verses 10 to 17. This is the word of God. I'm reading from the New International Version. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that we can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The context of the story today in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus had sent the 12 out on a preaching mission, and they had returned, and he decided that he was going to take them aside for a time of rest and refreshment. But as he thought he was taking them to a place of rest and refreshment, the people discovered that Jesus was in the area again, and they followed. And soon a great crowd assembled, we're told here, 5,000 men, probably many, many more, including women and children. And Jesus was teaching, Jesus was healing them. But as time went on, the disciples became aware of a very great need. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to the afternoon, I get this little knot in my stomach. And I've tried to discover different ways to meet that need. When I was on a low-carb thing, I was eating celery and Laughing Cow cheese. Now that I'm just counting calories, I eat an apple. Unless Carol brings in some homemade goodies, which she did today, which will be my downfall. But I have to have something around 4 o'clock. And undoubtedly, the people who had gathered, they probably didn't expect to stay there that long. But as time went by, the disciples began to look around, and I'm sure they had a knot in their stomach themselves. What do you think? So there was this great need. Now, obviously, there was a need for a great provision. And there were different options available in terms of providing food for these people. The disciples came up with the most pragmatic one, of course. Just send them away. You know, get them out of here. It's time to eat. Parentheses, it's time for us to eat too. But, as I mentioned earlier, this was a remote place, we're told. There weren't any McDavids around where you could get a big Moe's. However, you will note, I should make this point to you, there is now a McDonald's in Lower Galilee in Timrå where you can buy a McKebab, among other things. Really, truly. So Jesus had something very shocking to say to them. This was another option. First one was send them away. Second one is in the imperative. You give them something to eat. Now, could you imagine how shocking that would be? Imagine being, I'm trying to think of a comparable crowd between 5 and 10,000, maybe a Sixers game. Maybe they weren't even drawing that many people by the end of the season. But remember, imagine being there and somebody says to them, you feed these people. And maybe you've been in a situation where too many people showed up for an event and you had to figure out how to take care of them. I was down at the ball game last night. Naturally, I chose the night to go that they lost. However, it was Dollar Dog Night. It was wonderful. But even at Dollar Dog Night, you can only buy four hot dogs at a time. And Dollar Dog Night wouldn't fit the bill here. And it wasn't the case where you and I can, when we're faced with such a situation, we kind of pull out the plastic, right? So it's not as though the disciples could just pull out the plastic and cover the bill. In John's gospel, Philip makes the observation. He says, 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough bread for each one to have a bite. Maybe if we went out and spent all this money, everybody just get a little taste. That's not going to do the job. So we could either go out and buy food for everybody, or we do have these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. Now I'm thinking in my mind, they had a plan for the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. It had nothing to do with the multitude. So there were these different options, even as the disciples considered the challenge before them. But there was one option that they did not consider. How interesting that they'd been with Jesus now for all this time. They'd seen him heal. They'd seen him raise the son of the widow of Nain from the dead. They'd seen his authority over the wind and the waves. They'd seen his authority over the demons and the powers of darkness. But now when faced with this challenge, they're looking in their pocketbooks and they're looking at the little boy's lunch pail and they're saying, we don't know what to do. John's gospel also tells us that Jesus challenged them because he already knew what he was going to do. And so what did he do? He said to the disciples, have them sit down in groups of 50. The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Now, I'd like you to imagine that you're there, you're in these groups of 50, perhaps 100 to 200 groups of 50 people. What's happening? And I'd like you to imagine you're one of the 12. What are you getting these people's expectations? What are we getting their hopes up for? We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But then Jesus took the bread. And he took the fish. And he gave thanks. He asked God's blessing on that small offering. And the disciples took it as he distributed to them. And there was a great need, but there was a great provision, wasn't there? And I love what Luke's gospel says. It says, they gave them to the disciples and set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. So this wasn't one of these deals where, you know, there's 2 cookies left and there's 4 people. And you're sitting there, how are we going to divvy up the 2 cookies? Well, you split them in half. Everyone took what they wanted, and they were satisfied. Jesus met the need abundantly. Because not only was the need great, not only was the provision that was needed great, but they were in the presence of the great provider, weren't they? As you were there on that day, as we think about this passage this morning, I think there are three very important encouragements that we can take from it. First of all, the Lord promises, the Lord will meet the needs of his people. Undoubtedly, as some were sitting there, and we know this, as I'm going to observe in just a moment, some may have thought about that event, those events in Israel's history, where God's people were in a remote place, in a distant place. And they had no means of provision, but the Lord provided for them. Here in the midst of this remote place, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd of Israel, provides for his people so that they can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And for you and for me, as God's people, we can be confident that he's going to provide for our needs. What are you worried about this morning? What are your concerns? I remember when I was a student here, I had lots of financial worries. Our first child arrived in the middle of our seminary career here. I was making $40 a week in a youth ministry position. And my wife had been working as a teacher in a school district, and that was gone. We wondered, how would the Lord provide? But he did. We made it through. He's going to provide for you. He's going to provide for your needs as you continue to carry out the work that he has called you to do. But this isn't just about food, is it? One of the fascinating things about this story is that there are only two miracles that appear in all four Gospels. One of them is the resurrection, and one of them is this, the feeding of the 5,000. And John's Gospel reminds us that this takes us to someplace much deeper than mere physical needs. Because it's in the wake of this provision that the people start to follow him around. They say, "This is great. We can get a free lunch." And they come to Jesus and they say, "You know, if you're really a prophet, you'll do something great. Let's see. Moses provided manna in the desert." Remember what Jesus said. He said, "I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." So Jesus comes to meet our most fundamental need, our need to be reconciled to the Father through his offering of himself. And so Jesus is not only the great provider, but he is the great provision. And as he calls us to believe in him, he calls us to that most fundamental, to have that most fundamental of all needs to be met, which is to be reconciled to our Father through faith in him and the offering that he would give. And that's the good news that we carry, isn't it? Jesus is the great provider because he is the great provision. And as we consider the ministries in which we are called to be involved in, if Jesus promises to meet all of our material needs, and if he promises to meet our deepest spiritual needs through what he's done for us on the cross, he's also going to take what we offer and multiply it as those who minister in his name. What's interesting, again, as you look at this text, is that Jesus told the disciples, "You give them something to eat." And wasn't it amazing? They gave the people something to eat. They took what Jesus gave them, and they distributed it, and thousands of people were fed. There's a great hunger in the world, a great spiritual hunger. And we look and we say, how shall we do this? How shall we meet this need? But Jesus promises to give you everything that you need to accomplish that which he's called you to do. And so as the disciples take that bread and they distribute it, they come back, and what do you see? You see them standing there with 12 baskets of bread. Jesus had used them to multiply the provision. And from week to week, as you're involved in ministry, from Sunday to Sunday, you humbly take the bread of life in your hand and the word of God. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. But he's given you something in your hand. He's given you something of authority. He's giving you the gospel of grace. And as you proclaim that, he will multiply that. It's truly amazing, isn't it? As I stand before you here today, there must be at least 20 people here. But he takes this word and he multiplies it. And as you go into your pulpits, as you go into your youth ministries, wherever you go, he takes that and he multiplies that according to his purpose, so that he enables you through his power to give them something to eat. But I hope as you look at this story, you will be reminded once again that there is a great need. But there is a great provision in Jesus Christ, and he's the great provider. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much today for your word. We rejoice in another picture of the display of your mighty power. And Father, I pray today that as we gather, we're aware of many material needs. Well, Lord, may we be confident that you will meet those needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. May we be confident that he delivered up his own Son. Will not also together with him freely? Will not he also together with him freely give us all things? And may we rejoice, O Lord, that what you have provided is not merely material and physical, but what you have provided is to meet our most basic need. And Father, we rejoice that through your power, as you've called and gifted people, you cause that good news, you cause that message to be multiplied. And we pray that as we continue our ministries in your name, that we would rest in you, that we would look to you, that we would rejoice in you, knowing that you will provide everything that we need to accomplish what you've called us to do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.